Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us at the annual parish meeting. I will move on to item number one. Obviously, this is Tuesday, 28th of May at 7:30 p.m. And receive any apologies for absence. I don't think we have a need for that. So we can move on to number two. To receive the minutes of the annual parish meeting held on the 28th of May 2018. Does anybody have any comments from last year's meeting? Anybody in our audience would like to raise any issues from that meeting, or anybody as parishioners sitting this end of the table would like to raise anything? Okay. Thank you. We move on to item number three. Oh, sorry, Councillor Kilmarra.
Just wondering if it's worth pointing out to our esteemed audience that this is a meeting of the parish rather than of the parish council, so the standing orders do not apply. So they are
entitled. I'm sorry, yes, that's why I was asking for the audience's any comments. But standing orders do not actually apply in this meeting because it's not a parish council meeting. Sorry, thank you, Councillor Kilmarra. Point three, to report on aspects of the meeting held on the 28th of May 2018. Do we have anything to report back?
Nothing from me.
Okay, does anybody else have anything they wish to report back on from that meeting? Okay, thank you. Right, to receive a report from the Chair of the Parish Council. My report is actually on the website, so I'm not going to bore you all by just reading through everything that I've written. So it is actually on the website for anyone if they are interested. I would just like to point out just quickly a couple of things. To welcome the two new members to Parish Council, Rebecca and Richard, and also to thank Julie Norman. I don't think Julie's here tonight, as you know. To thank Julie for all of her efforts over the years as a councillor and as a chair, and also to thank all of the people at work on the parish, our esteemed parish clerk, Claire, our assistant clerk, and Gabby, our RFO, plus also people that work for the parish, like Tim Stebbings, our diligent member around the village, and our wardens, etc., for all of the efforts. They do a sterling job and they do keep things in order. But so as far as the rest of the report's concerned, it's on the website if anybody's interested in reading it. Okay, thank you. To move on to item number five, to receive reports from committees and working parties of the Parish Council. I'll say exactly the same thing with that. All of these reports are actually on the website if anybody's interested in reading them. But I will pass around to each member, each chair of these groups, if they wish to add anything or put any other comments to it. And if I could start under point 5A, made, if I could pass to Councillor Travis, Mr. Travis.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I am now the chair of MAID, which is the youth club which runs out of the pavilion on a weekly basis. And I can report that its numbers are gradually increasing, which is good. And I have really nothing to add to the report that's in the public domain anyway, except to say that the numbers have been supplemented last year and increasingly this year by people from young people from Royston, and together with assistance from Councillor van der Ven, we are making administrations or applications to Royston to see if they can help us with the costs of running the youth club, because the youth club is uniquely funded. It's funded by a sort of participative contribution from different parishes, which is a unique, I think, way of funding things. Melbourne's the biggest player in that, but Royston obviously is a dominant neighbour, and so we look forward to hoping anyway that Royston contributes to the running of the youth club, which I passionately support.
Thank you very much, Mark. 5B, passing over to Councillor Kilmarra, if there's anything you'd like to add.
I apologise for its tardiness, but it was submitted. We've had 70 planning applications to consider, some of which were tree works, some of which we couldn't do anything about because they'd already been decided by the time they arrived. We've had two instances where we have sent a representative to the district planning committee, and in both cases the points that we raised were upheld, One was to support the development at TTP, and the other was to raise objections to the development on New Road, 22 houses. The 22 houses subsequently, that has been approved by planning officers because all of the objections that were raised were then cleared by changes to plans. Other than that, the only major planning issue, most of it was sort of changes, extensions and so forth around the village. The only major one is the 199, and we successfully objected to their discharge of condition 9, which is the sewage condition. That is now, I believe, at appeal. So we await to see what happens there.
Is it worth mentioning the post office? Just for the benefit.
There was a planning application came through from that. The building itself has changed ownership. New owner wanted to essentially replace the lean-to at the front, which we objected to. The original design, he did a bit of rejig on that. However, one thing that is probably worth pointing out is that postmaster is retiring, and if we don't get a replacement, then the post office will close, and it's unlikely to reopen, as I understand it. So if anybody wants a job, there's one going.
Is it going to be advertised?
It is being advertised. It's advertised on the notice boards, on the parish council websites, and the post office is advertising as well.
Is there anything that we can do as a community to petition to keep it open, or is that beyond their control?
We need a postmaster. Postmaster is going.
Simple as that.
No postmaster, no post office.
So if it closes, I'm reliably informed that the post office will wash their hands thereof. So our post office will then be in Meldrith. That's me done.
5C, financing good governance. I won't bore you with numbers or crunching or anything like that. My report is actually on the website for that. But just to say that we've got an exciting year coming forward into the next financial year. There are a lot of things that we're going to be looking at with the RFO, the financial officer, and our clerk about how we manage different parts of our funding, how we deal with different aspects of the precepts, etc., etc. So it's all on there, but there's going to be a lot happening over the next 12 months, I can assure you. I'd like to pass over to the head of our HR panel, Councillor Hart, and under 5D.
Sorry, I get Councillor then I remit to try and find somebody to run the post office, but probably not. But yeah, I think for all of us, we need to take it on board and to know that we are looking for someone. I think that would be a real shame to miss that. On the plus side, the HR panel is another busy year. We've successfully recruited a time banking coordinator, and lovely to have Camp here. Really, really helpful having our review of the policies, the published policy review, which again is in the public domain now, and that will form a large part of our work going forward in the first few months of the new civic year. So making sure those policies that were amber or in first place, ones that were red, need to make sure they're reviewed. I don't think there's looking at how policies are again in terms of what we've got. But to say that that's really what we've been working on. It feels quite a healthy panel, and we meet regularly, normally a monthly meeting, sometimes more often if it's to do with recruitment and appraisals. So there is one space left on the HR panel if anybody does want to join us, but I don't think it's quite as pressing a priority as perhaps some of the other committees that we have. So.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hart. Now pass over under 5E to the Chair of our Maintenance Committee, Councillor Travis.
Not really very much to add to what's been reported. It's been a busy year. Maintenance is a key factor in the work of the Parish Council. We meet every month. We've met how many times? 12 times in the last year. There's that out. There's been a change to the way that the maintenance is dealt with formally. It has been up until the middle of this last year that we're reviewing now, had been formatted as a working party. It's become a committee, which makes it a little bit easier to manage projects which require spend. But apart from that, nothing more to report.
Thank you very much for that. Back moving on swiftly to item number six, to receive reports from the Parish Council representatives on the village charities and other organisations. Again, all of these are actually on the website, and all the details are there for people to peruse and read at their leisure if they want to. I'll just go through very quickly and ask if anybody wants to make any additional comments. Under 6A, Triggs Charity, and Val Barrett, I don't believe she's here tonight. Okay, moving on. B, Martin's Charity, if I pass to the Parish Clerk, is there anything to add to that one?
There isn't, no. That charity is now defunct and never used, so there was absolutely zero financial movement over the course of the year, exactly like it was last year. I think there was a grand total of about £29 in the kitty.
Okay, thank you. And under item C, the John Clear Almshouse, Mrs. Howard?
Mrs. Howard can't be here, but I'm the chairman.
Okay, well, if there's any additional items you'd like to raise?
I'd just like to raise the point, although Mavis has mentioned in here that the original request was from Francis John Clear, which is hence we've got Clear Crescent. With Wise Investments, we don't call on anybody for money other than borrowing money from the Almshouse Association because it's interest free.
Okay.
So we are independent.
Okay. Thank you very much for that comment. Item D, Melbourne Mobile Warden Scheme, District Councillor Hales, if you'd like to add anything.
Thank you, Chair. Just thank you for the continued funding. That's from the whole of the charitable board. Since this report was written, there's been another three people join the scheme, and another warden. So it's going from strength to strength year on year. It has a very good track record and it's, I think, well regarded amongst its clients and those family members. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that. Moving on to item E, the Melbourne and Mildred Lunch Club, and once again, District Councillor Harris.
That's
you.
I'll lump these two together, if I may.
Okay.
Lunch Club used to be in Vicarage Close, had a bit of an issue with future staff in Mother Warden Scheme was getting too busy to be able to do everything. So approaches were made to the hub and the staff here if they would run it, which they gladly did. And we've been running here since the back end of January, and that's grown by nearly 25% just by being here, and it is superb. Other than that, the food's better as well.
We'll minute that.
And obviously the company.
Thank you very much for that.
Can I just add a bit of colour to that as well? I mean, I think obviously I'm going to say good things about the community hub because I'm involved in it, but the community hub, by offering space for this elderly people's lunch club, is just the right place for this. I mean, it's part of the mission of the Melbourne hub, and it isn't a surprise that it's doing better, that's all I can say, because it feels right and the people know it feels right. So I think it's a win-win, really.
Thank you for those additional comments.
If I may, Chair, it's not on the agenda, but could you humour me? This is the Celebrating Ages.
Chair, I'm sorry, before we go on to that, can I just make one point? The Wilson District Community Transport actually do provide drivers to take members of the lunch club to the hub.
Yeah, we're painfully aware of that. Thank
just
you.
Just making a point.
It's to do with the Celebrating Ages event, which this parish funds from the Salo Fund money. The last one that took place on the 20th, we had 194 attendees. And as Mr. Worrell rightly says, we used Royston Community Transport to death. We used everything he had, I think, actually, bar a few car drivers. So that was superb. We transported something like 51 people, I think it was, plus a few cars. The point I'm going to make here is it's what John was just saying with regards to how the lunch clubs go here. That was just, if you like, a big extension of that. Thanks to John and Steve for coming along, and all of the volunteers. We had something like 20-odd people here helping out. But the big one was the 23 kids from the college, the students in year 9, who had never done it before. They had 5 minutes briefing by the teacher about 2 weeks ago, and they had 10 minutes on the day just before they were thrown in a deep end. And they were, without a shadow of a doubt, I think you two probably would hopefully agree with me, stupendous. I can't thank the college enough for what they do and the kids. And when people talk about our children in the village as being a bit unruly and a bit this, bit that, it couldn't be further from the truth. These are exemplars of what our kids are like. So thank you very much. Thank you for the money. If I remember rightly, at the funding meeting, I said that I was going to cut my cloth accordingly if I ran out of money. There's a slight technical hitch to that, was that after I contacted God knows how many people, quite a lot of people in contacted me afterwards, so the 194 would have been 174 had I stuck to my guns. So I'm fractionally short into 2020, so I might have to delay until May so I can come back and get to clobbing for some more money. Other than that, it is an absolute dream. So thank you.
Thank you for that.
I'll just add a comment on the celebrating ages, and the I received several good comments about the students and the work that they were doing, and the how pleasant they were to talk to.
Yeah.
And the 6F, the grants awarded in 2018-19 and how the money has been spent. There are a number of reports that are sitting on the website under category 6F, I believe, is that correct? If anybody wishes to read those and see how the monies that were allocated last year were spent. So they're all there to be reviewed. It's not on the agenda, but under six, we would like just to ask our time bank manager to give us a small update on the progress so far.
Okay, we'll do.
If you wouldn't mind.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. There's a report submitted, which hopefully you've seen. So I've had just over 2 months in the role now. The membership so far is, the growth is good, it's consistent. At the time of reporting, we have 27 full members registered, and there's a similar number in the pipeline, so we're definitely growing nicely. The rate of exchanges is about 40 hours a week, and I'm adding about 5 or 6 members every month. Melbourne Magazine has just gone out as well, and that features an article about it, so I'm hoping that generates some more inquiries. And there are some other activities going on that will also enable the word to spread. So the coffee mornings carry on as they have done. Attendance is generally in the region of about a dozen a week. But we've added an art and craft club, which is running fortnightly in the pavilion. And it's free to all, but it's originally pitched to Time Bank members, but it's not exclusive. It's exclusively for Time Bank members, because the hope is that if we get people through the door, we can then sign them up for Time Bank. There's also going to be a board game night launching in the Dolphin, hopefully on the 3rd of June, and that'll be a monthly occurrence. And we're also taking part in the Hubs Community Showcase, which will effectively be our launch event. So we're there less to fundraise and more to recruit. And that's mostly what's in the report anyway, so
thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent progress. Moving on to item number 7, to receive reports from District Councillors Hart and Hales.
Yes, the report is on the website, and we didn't really have anything further to add, except that Councillor Hales wanted to say something about the appeal, the Anglia Water appeal.
Chair, I've reported this to the clerk. Mr. Clark, about this, I'm meeting tomorrow with planners. Sorry, we are meeting tomorrow with planners and Anglian Water to try and come to some kind of middle ground and agreement that they might want to stick to. As you'll be aware, the Grampian Order was quite specific. No house should be occupied. Blah blah blah. It was kind of unreasonable, if you like, to expect Hopkins Homes to have to suffer something for somebody else's lack of cooperation. Yeah, I see a cooperation, I can't think of the word, that's going to be polite. Essentially, what we'll be looking at tomorrow will be somewhere where Anglian Water commit into their new financial capital spend, which is, starts in April 2020, I believe, so that they then put us first on the list. If they can put us first on the list with a solution which would increase the physical capacity of the existing system, not their system on Hopkins site, but the system that we all enjoy out here, then I, having spoken with Philippa and the planners, it would be prudent to allow the condition 9 to be signed off, because they can't build out quick enough to actually overwhelm the system before it's built, the any improvements are built into the system. So that's where we're going to go with that. However, if we don't get anywhere tomorrow, then it'll be status quo as we remain at the moment and fight to from there. So that's really where we are. Yeah.
Can I just ask one question on that? If you sort of picked up on half the conversation when you were on the phone, so I understand where you're coming from with that. But in the event that Anglian Water do promise, are we going to get this legally binding from Anglian Water? Because them saying they will do something, yes, of course we will, and then not complying, and we've got nowhere to go legally to redress against that. I think going through our planning committee meeting, obviously it will have to come back via us anyway, I would be looking for some legally binding document from Anglian Water, which is tying their hands in to this completely.
It would have to be, Chair. I mean, Philip and I use the phrase signed in blood from someone, so I think that would be a fair assumption. The planners aren't going to let this one go. They'll make sure that it's tighter than me.
It's quite odd, actually. By way of an aside, but Anglia Water wins lots of awards for things, but our experience with them going through the planning process has been very bad, not just on this development. So there's a real mismatch, and I think the senior management genuinely, I suspect, are not aware of the sort of problems that local communities experience. There's something perhaps on a higher political level to be done.
Well, I felt quite upset when their representatives came here to talk through, and basically they gave us absolutely nothing. And the audience, or the parishioners that were asking questions, they just weren't being answered. So I just don't want to see the same thing again. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, I just wanted to ask, so Susie, Joe and I hold monthly surgeries when we can make them, and actually I think we've been struggling recently. You've been here, we have stopped already, but we like to hold some sort of surgery, I think, but I mean, I'd be happy to receive any ideas about when the best timing for those would be.
Could you rename them?
Oh,
coffee and cake. I'm thinking Tyson, wouldn't he? He's doing really well.
Yeah.
Isn't she? And I was just thinking if you could coordinate.
Actually, that's a very good idea. Yes.
We did actually do a new line at the police drop-in with a coffee morning.
Yes. Yes.
And he actually ended up sitting with us because he was more noticeable where he was.
So I just wondered if he's still going to surgery. Yeah, it's a very good idea. I should just speak to coffee morning. Yes. Because after all, we're offering our skills and our time, aren't we? Yeah.
Sage.
Yes.
Excuse me, I compiled a diary for the Melbourne magazine, and your surgeries are in there every month. Yeah. Are you not holding them anymore?
Only as of the last month, because nobody was coming. But we can keep going if they're in the diary.
They are in the diary.
Yeah. I did. Okay.
I certainly talked to Stella Monday afternoon. So
I probably ought to. But a good note for the future to check, ask what's in the diary.
Yes.
District councillors, in your report, which is on the website, yeah, under the customer service section,
yes,
you have a tiny URL link which does not work.
Oh, listen to it.
Would it be possible to fix it and re-upload to the website so that people could use it? Because I've literally just clicked on it and it unfortunately sadly doesn't work.
Okay, I will do that. But if you wanted to try it, it's not necessary to go in that way. If you just go onto the councillor website, the My South Cams is the top right, and it just says sign in and register. But yes, I can.
Thank you. Okay. The next item on the agenda, item 8, to receive a report from Cambridgeshire County Councillor Anne Devine.
Thanks. So I've provided you a very long encyclopedic report on the website, and I have a tiny little book a friend's given me to try and reduce my what I say. So I'll just give you some key highlights if I may. The list I've got, the work list I've got for Melbourne is mostly the highways things, big highways things, but highways issues. And if you look at the spending pie, highways is a tiny sliver of what the council spends out of its revenue budget every year. The great majority of what it spends goes to adult social care. By far, far and away, it's the biggest area of spend. And it's and also children's services is its other main social care responsibility. That's a way of perhaps explaining why we're always chasing highways jobs, and but also an opportunity to say thank you for the services that Melbourne provides for these two cohorts of people. So in terms of older people being able to live independently, Royston District Community Transport, the Mobile Wardens and the Melbourne Hub together create the opportunity to live independently and to really enjoy life. And the Melbourne Hub is well known outside of Melbourne, and it's always held up as, well, we can do one because Melbourne's doing one. They don't know how hard it is, but it is held up as an exemplar. And Royston and District Community Transport, I have not lately done what I usually do, which is to try and put out the word that they always need new volunteer drivers because people come and go. And I think Melbourne has a particular, you know, it's a big population, and so we should put that word out. On the County Council, I sit on the Health Committee, which scrutinises NHS services and also is responsible for the delivery of public health. So county councils are now public health providers, which is a very, or sorry, commissioners. They have that responsibility, which is very good. It's very good for a local authority to have that preventive responsibility and oversight, and it informs other things that they do. In terms of the pressures on the county council, I know I've told you for many, many years that we're slowly sliding down very difficult financial terrain. We have another $69 million in cuts over the next 5 years, we're told, and we are now, one of the themes that is recurrent at our meetings is how close are we cutting it, and will we be faced with judicial review? So it's a really, really difficult time. You probably know that the County Council has created a property company, like many local authorities, as a way of reinventing itself to bring in new revenue, because it now, this year, has reached zero from central government in terms of revenue support. Shire Hall is to be... we're going to move out of Shire Hall, and the plan is to move to Alconbury. I don't personally agree with the decision to build a new building in Alconbury, because in the five districts that comprise Cambridgeshire, the district councils have many empty offices, and so why not use those? And there's no public transport to Alconbury. Other pressures. We are, of course, we have a close relationship with Northamptonshire, and this is a council that has been in financial difficulty. Cambridgeshire imposed a cut on salary staff of 1.2% this Christmas. So the mood is morale is not the greatest. We are some way into the new layer of local government of the mayor. And I think it's probably too soon to make an assessment, except to note that most of the mayor's transport projects are being delivered in the area where he is from. And The council has produced its Brexit impact assessments early this year, and the main concern is the impact on adult social care, its main area of responsibility, because of the impact on workforce recruitment. And then finally, could I just, on a positive note, say that Melbourne, I think, really stands out, Melbourne and Melbourne Parish Council, for looking out for young people, both in supporting MAID and in the work here at the Hub, where there's a lot of work happening behind the scenes. And I think it's somewhat unique in its energy in supporting young people. And there's so much responsibility heaped down onto parish councils now, because the county council is not doing what it would like to do. And you've really picked up that responsibility, and I feel you're real champions for young people, and that's a wonderful thing. I've also just submitted very, very late, but I can put them on. I only thought this morning I ought to send in my annual reports for the Rail User Group and the Community Rail Partnership and the Cycling Campaign. But just to note that we still have a unique 50% discount for the 16 to 18-year-olds in education and training. It started here, and it's in Cambridgeshire. It's a unique national discount. And the half-hourly off-peak service we now enjoy was only a result of the Rail User Group campaigning and pressuring the train operating company. It is not Department for Transport requirement, and we have to now fight to keep it when the franchise change is over. That's it.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yes. Just had a comment, really, and I don't know if it's the top of the pier. I've recently met on Friday, and you, I don't know what to call them.
Station master.
Those of you who remember David Piggott, I never thought we would find anybody who would be able to add such colour and charm to our station in Melbourne. But just really to recommend, if you want to find out the best rates to get anywhere on trains, yes, Vern is your man. And I should be down there tomorrow morning with my daughter's gold annual season ticket to get my £10 network card. So with wonderful knowledge, would really, really recommend have a chat with him. It's wonderful to have him as part of our community as well. Yeah. We're very lucky, I think, that the people we find to provide us with services.
That's good. Thank you. Any questions for our council councillors or district councillors? Okay. Moving on to the next item, to consider any matters brought before the annual parish meeting. Are there any matters that wish to be raised? Okay. We'll move quickly on to the public forum. So it's open to the public to ask any questions at all.
If I may bring up the post office again, mm-hmm. I do know that, of course, the problem is not having a postmaster when the current one retires, and that is the big issue. However, is there a way that the parish can get involved as a service provider? Because I think having a post office in the village is essential pretty much to everybody. I mean, we've said a lot about looking after young people, but I think the post office is probably very, very useful for older people. And as I'm gradually or very rapidly getting there myself, I have a vested interest in this. But if there is a way that the council can get involved or the parish can get involved, I know that the post office is a separate company and so on. There may be lots of legal issues here, but I think it's probably worth investigating if the parish can do something about it, and perhaps in the future, with the view of perhaps bringing it here in an extension or something, and making this a real hub for the village.
Okay. Pass over to our clerk in a second, but I do believe at some stage this was reviewed, wasn't it, as possibly bringing it into the hub. I think before, this is years ago, isn't it? A few years ago.
Yeah, some years ago. Maybe James knows more about it than I do. I think it was the post office was...
We had fairly lengthy discussions with the post office council's people. That was best part 4 years ago, and they've been advertising that post for 4 years without success, which is a bit of a shame. One of the criteria is that it has to be a viable business, and even though this is a viable business as the hub, it's not the viable business that they would stick their name against. It has to be, you know, like when they have the cards and the other bits and bobs you see in a post office, it has to be something along those lines. So that was a bit of a blow.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a timing issue as well.
Yeah, but it's also the amount of investment. I think they pay about 18-20 grand a year into it, but you're going to be spending a damn sight more than that to run it. So,
I can say, George, is I mean, I personally, as the chair of the community, I would welcome including the post office as something inside the community hub, because it would seem to fit really well. It's quite a hard trick to pull off. I mean, you need some space, it needs to be secure, and as Joe says, I mean, you have to satisfy the post office's own criteria on what they will accept of a partner, you know, and it may or may not, we may or may not meet that criterion yet.
I totally agree with that, and I sort of raised it on that sort of basis, actually, that I know that there may be many obstacles. I do remember, actually, when it was actually raised some years ago, and I think at that time it wasn't known that the postmaster was going to retire. I think there was that stumbling block, wasn't there?
Now that the postmaster's actually retired in the next in the world, we did not. The postmaster wanted to go, but we were held by confidentiality that we couldn't speak about it. So
okay, well,
there was a bit of an issue. You can't go and say, hey, let's have a post office because we need it, because as soon as you did that, everyone would go, is he leaving? So we were kind of in a rock and a hard place, really.
If I could just pass over to Mr. Clark, if you'd like to add a few points.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just to report that I have met with both the post office and the new owners of the building on more than one occasion over the last couple of months, and I have offered the services of the parish council with regards to raising awareness and advertising the position, and I received the official posters from the post office last week. Hopefully you've noticed them around the village. There are quite a few downstairs and on the notice boards and the websites, etc., etc., and we will continue to help with that. With regards to the parish council actually becoming involved in the running of a post office, Melbourne Parish Council is not in a position to do that at the moment. The reason is it requires access to a very specific piece of legislation that governs parish councils, something called the General Power of Competence, which members of the public may or may not be familiar with. The parish council is not eligible to exercise that General Power of Competence at the moment, and the earliest point in the future in which it could be would be 2022, the next mandatory elections. And our parish council needs to have this piece of legislation under its belt, if you will, before it can act like an individual and open or run a business. So I'm afraid there's nothing they can do in that respect right now. The picture may change in the future, but one would hope that we never have to worry about it because we get a new postmaster.
But if you've got a bit of spare time, George.
Okay.
I'm usually told what to do.
You can have a family there, do it.
Post family.
Yeah.
Are there any other comments or anything? Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the Greater Cambridgeshire Partnership is coming to the Melbourne Hub early in July to discuss the Melbourne Greenway. Support from the parish the council will be very helpful, I think, because I believe there's a really good chance that we will achieve the Greenway, which is the last bit of the route between Cambridge and Royston.
Yeah, thank you.
And there are an awful lot of people who are involved in this and offering a little bit of help here and there and everywhere. I'm sure Councillor and Ben can add a bit more to that.
Yes. So, thank you very much. I was trying too fast, to be too fast. So this is the Melbourne Greenways is the cycle route improvements. It's actually between Trumpington, the little roundabout of the Cambridge Royal Hotel, and Royston. That is the extent of the Melbourne Greenways. And the critical gap, of course, for us is Melbourne to Royston. And we have, I mean, I've reported to you many times the progress of that. There is a growing collection of financial contributions to the bridge which is essential to allowing funding for the path to be released, because the bridge is in Hertfordshire, but Hertfordshire doesn't have Greater Cambridge Partnership or city deal money from government. That's a unique thing for Cambridgeshire. There's such a clear demand for it from so many quarters, and especially low-wage, no-wage earners in Melbourne. You know, the cost of the bus, if you can save that every day and take your bike, you will save a lot of money every month. So what's happening is the consultation for this project will come to the hub on July the 11th from 6:30 to 8:30, and we really, really need, if you support this, to fill out, everybody needs to fill out a consultation leaflet form, and there will be lots of them here, and I will be imposing them on you. And also on June the 9th, which isn't very long from now, Sunday, is our annual awareness ride. We start at Trumpington Park and Ride and go off-road together with marshals at junctions and things and meet at Phillimore's. And you can also just go to Phillimore's. You don't have to go on the whole ride. So please come along to Phillimore's if you like. The consultation on the Greenway scheme will actually launch at Phillimore's. And at Phillimore's has is exactly the profile of the local business, where you've got young people working who come from Royston and would benefit. So Mike's been working on this for longer than anyone. And we're close, and we really need to come out. We need to blow everyone else away with the biggest consultation response. That's the key. So if you'd like to do anything to support this.
What's the date of the ride?
June 9th, Sunday. So 10 o'clock at Trumpington Park and Ride.
10 o'clock?
Yeah. And if you don't know the secret way from Trumpington Park and Ride to Hoxton, then you should come on the ride, and we'll show you the way.
Okay, thank you. Are there any more questions from the public gallery?
I'd just like to say, Chair, I've actually done that, right? As much as you may not believe it. I did it once, and I couldn't sit down for a week. But other than that,
did you do the whole thing?
I did. I rode with you there and back. That's what killed me. It was really good. It's like a secret discovery of this path. It's lovely.
So, were you on the tandem, just doing nothing?
No, I was in one of those little trailers with a big fan. Yeah.
Okay, do we have any other questions or anything else anyone wants to ask? Public gallery? Anyone around the table, anything else they want to add or ask?
Just checking the weather for Sunday.
Oh, please just come.
That's a bit optimistic.
The night.
Sunday week.
Sunday the night. Fine in the morning. Good in the morning. That's
you can just wear your rainproof, waterproof.
Slippers, yeah.
Prove that it's feasible every day.
Right.
My life
goes.
Oh, okay.
As well.
Not that fast. Please. Okay. Thank you. There's no other questions or anything else anyone wishes to raise from there. We'll move on to item 11, annual awards. There've been a couple of awards this year, or there are a couple of awards this year. There's been a number of nominations for these two throughout the village. First one being Tim Stebbings. We call him our litter picker, but he does far, far more than that. You know, he's taken on his own back trying to rejuvenate parts of the area that he picks stuff up from, and some of the lanes and things, and he's actually trying to introduce a new area for safe play and things like that. It's something he's really taken on board. He does an awful lot for the village, bit of an unsung hero, really, even if he does jump traffic lights on his bike. But we won't talk about that too much. But no, he's speeding around the village at a rate of knots. But I think those nominations for him, it's well served, and he will be receiving a certificate in due course for that. The second one, I don't know whether there's anyone here from All Saints Community Hall Committee.
I am.
Okay, well, All Saints Community Hall Committee has been recommended for an award.
Oh,
So this will be prepared by our clerk and will be submitted to the committee in due course. So there's been a number of nominations for that.
In recognition of the efforts regarding film night.
That's me. And Mrs. Howard.
Thank you very much for that. There's one last item on the agenda, which is a presentation for Julie Norman, who unfortunately can't be here tonight. We have a small gift for her to thank her for all of her efforts as a councillor and as the chair of the council, and all the efforts that she's done for the village and various things she does, unsung hero on things that she's done. Some gardening, bits and pieces, and something to drink while she's gardening. So hopefully we'll give that to her next time we see her. But thank you very much for all of her efforts. If there's no other business and no one has any other questions or anything, I will call the meeting to a close. And thank you all for attending, and thank you for your patience tonight. Thank you.